Anyone ever had an adrenaline dump before? Do you know what I mean when I say that? Something exciting happens, and your body kind of takes over. You can't think straight or talk straight or any of that. Feeling some of that this morning. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua. We're going to continue our study on cultural confusion, and we are talking about the family and family decisions and biblical family roles. A couple weeks ago, we did a sermon on biblical family roles, what it looks like to be a godly father, a mother, child, and grandparent. And not to belabor that point, but I would like to just touch on these quickly before we move on. What does a biblical father look like? Well, a biblical father will mirror the character of God. That's a tall job, isn't it, dads? That we have to look like God and act and judge righteously and discipline well and love well, just like God does. So a biblical father will accept his children for who they are. He sets the example like God sets the example for us. He is holy. We are to be holy. He loves without limits, and he disciplines well. A biblical mother will mirror the characteristics of Jesus Christ to where she is in submission to the will of the husband, as the husband leads as Christ would lead and as he loves as Christ would love. So a biblical mother will fear the Lord. She submits willingly to the Lord and her husband. She speaks with wisdom, and she prays passionately for her husband and for her family. Biblical children will mirror the characteristics of a disciple. They are to be learners. The disciples did not do everything perfectly, as we well know. But children, we are supposed to be learners, looking at our parents and looking at Jesus Christ through the scriptures. We are to learn what God would have us to be. The first thing is that a child will learn humility towards God and others. They will learn honesty, they learn self-control, and they learn to trust God. And parents, what a great example we are to set to show our kids how to trust God. And so we live openly, and we demonstrate what that looks like in our family, how to trust God. And then the last thing we talked about a couple weeks ago was grandparents. Grandparents, I think, should mirror the character of the Holy Spirit, where they share a legacy of faith. A grandparent's role has changed. They're no longer the father or the mother, but now you get to share your faith with your grandkids, and even with your children in a different way. The grandparents can offer guidance and mentorship. And a wonderful gift as grandparents, we can also share our time with those that we love. So moving on to the meat of the sermon, family decisions, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 24. Now, we live in a world right now, and even churches sometimes downplay the value of the home. If we want to know where our country has gone wrong, I think it's gone wrong in our individual lives and in our homes. Dads, I think we share the responsibility in this. Because if we are not living passionate Christian lives, if we're not followers of Christ, if we're not living examples to teach our family what it looks like to follow Christ, then they very well may not do that themselves. Our kids today see more and know more and have experienced more than we probably ever have. I heard that when in the 80s. And now it's 40 years later, 50 years later almost. And I believe that's still true. I think as parents, we need to take salvation of our children and put it at the highest priority on our list. What is our goal as a parent? Our goal is to raise children that honor God and who know God. Now, our children, they have a will of their own. They can decide for themselves. But I know as a father, I do not want to stand on judgment day that I didn't do all that I could to Show my children Jesus Christ. So in Joshua chapter 24, we're going to see that Joshua understands what it means to follow the Lord. He understands the power of family. And before he dies, he knows that death is coming soon. He wants to make a plea to Israel to renew their love and their faithfulness towards God, and in return get those same benefits that God has given them each and every time that they have obeyed. Now, one of the most well-known passages in chapter 24 has been quoted for years. 3,000 years later, we're still quoting it. It is, "But as for me and my house," what? "We will serve the Lord." We know that. In the words of chapter 24, we're going to see five decisions that I think that we need to make if we want our families to make the decision to serve the Lord with us. Now, I think if you're parents here, you want your kids to follow after you and your love for the Lord and your obedience and your willingness to serve Him. If you're a young person here and maybe you're not even dating yet, one day you're going to be married. You should listen today to know, how can I live right now to prepare to be that man or woman that will teach my family to serve the Lord? Let's go to our text, Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 27. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples from whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods. Then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve Him. And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline the heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with people that day and put it in the place, statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be witness against us, for it has heard the words of the Lord that He has spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. This is an explanation or a visitation to the Mosaic Covenant. If you do good, you'll be blessed. If you sin and you forsake me, you will be cursed. And we know how this story ends. The Israelites had this type of relationship, up and down with the Lord. Now, I'll tell you how this sermon is going to end in a few minutes. The sermon is going to end in a few minutes that today we have a choice to make. Today you can choose to serve the Lord and receive His blessings as children of God, or if we choose to disobey, to follow false gods, false idols, false ideals, then we will receive his chastisement. So I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to ask you now, are you willing to make that choice to serve the Lord? Is your family, fathers, going to serve the Lord? You set the tone. You are the thermostat, not the thermometer. Your family will take your lead. So, five decisions that we need to make. Five family decisions. The first one is a decision to build a grace-based family. So we didn't go there for the sake of time, but in the first 13 verses of chapter 24, Joshua recounts the story of how God led them out of Egypt and how all the mighty things that God has done. We talked Wednesday night about the biggest enemy to faith. The biggest enemy to your faith as a Christian is forgetfulness. That we forget what God has done for us. Joshua wants his people to never forget that they owed everything to God. If you are a father or a mother or a child in a Christian family, that came from the Lord. What a blessing that is. Someone should say amen there. What a blessing. Does that mean we have a perfect family? Don't look at my family because we're not perfect. I know Mickey's family is not perfect. I doubt there is any perfect family in this room. But we have it so, we have so much blessing because God is at the center of our family. That we don't have to live or act as the world lives and acts. And we need to remember that that came because of the grace and the mercy of God. We did nothing to deserve it. Now, Israel had won a lot of battles up to this point. They often destroyed the enemy. And it might be a natural thing to start thinking that I had something to do with this. That I'm such a great soldier, that's why I killed 10 of the Amalekites. Or I'm such a great dad, that is why my family looks like this. Or I'm such a great mother, and this is why my children are so well behaved. I'll remind you that if there's anything good that comes out of our life, it is not from us. It is from the grace that God has extended to us. And that is what we need to teach our children. Has God blessed you and your family? Then you should talk about it often. You should tell your children, hey, Susie, do you remember when you had the flu last week and you prayed to God and you asked him to help you get better? Or, Johnny, did you know that there was a time a couple months ago where mom and dad had a really hard time? We don't always have to go into details with our kids. But mom and dad prayed and God helped us through that. We need to make sure that our kids know that it's not about us, it's all about him. That'd be a great thing to include in our family devotions fairly often. If God has blessed you, I would encourage you to keep a journal. Write it down. Think about it. Talk about it. We talk about things that we're excited about. I'm going fishing in a couple days. I'm excited about that. I've talked about that a few times. I'm also excited about what God is doing in my life right now. I don't know about you, but I know a couple of you did. I had a really hard week. Anybody else have a hard week this week? Like harder than normal? Yeah, I did. And about, I guess it was Wednesday afternoon, I got done feeling sorry for myself. And I opened the scripture and I came to Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 through 5. And I think the slide's coming up here in a little bit, but I'll give you a quick snippet. Those five verses are David preaching a sermon to himself. He's going through a really hard time in his life. The Bible doesn't say what it was. And what David says is this, and you're going to recognize it when I say it. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." What was David saying? He's saying, God, I am going through a really hard time right now. My flesh wants to respond. But instead of that, I'm going to preach to myself. I'm going to bless the Lord. Every part of me. Now, I get divided sometimes. Sometimes I can say the right thing and think the wrong thing. I might say the thing the pastor is supposed to say, but sometimes I think the other. Am I the only one, or do you do that too? So David is giving every part of himself to God. My heart, my mind, my mouth, my emotions, my intellect, everything I am giving over to you, God. I'm going to bless you with that. I'll tell you, something happened this week that I don't think should have happened. I don't agree with it. So what do I do? Do I go have a pity party? Or is it, God, I'm going to bless you anyway? I'll tell you, as soon as I read that passage and let it sink in, all those things went away. It reminded me of how David's singing and playing of the harp before Saul, and how quickly Saul's temper came down. That's what I felt like God's word did to my heart this week. That's why we should be in it every day. And it's exciting, especially when God gives you something that's just for you. Was it for David? Absolutely it was. But it's also for me. So bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then it goes on to say, and forget not all of his benefits. Sometimes when we go through a hard time, we forget about all the benefits, because all we can see is what's right here. We forget that we were redeemed, that we were rescued from Egypt, that we were saved, that our debt has been paid for, that we are no longer sinners in the eyes of God, that he has made us a new creation. He has set our feet on solid ground. He has given us a church. He has given us a home. He's given us a spouse and children, all these things, all these benefits. And then we won't go here any longer, but in the last three verses, it lists five benefits that God gives us. And the last one really spoke to my heart, and this is way off script, but the last one spoke to my heart. It says that he will satisfy you with good. I'll tell you, this week, I thought my good was not satisfied, because I had it all mapped out how it was supposed to work. And I'll tell you that scripture is still true. He has satisfied me. He has satiated me. I'm no longer upset. I'm no longer aggravated or feeling empty. God has responded, and he did that with grace. So I need to tell those things to my family. I need to tell those things to my church and to my friends. So we need to build a grace-based family that is all about what God has done for us. Well, here's the passage I was telling you about. Let's read it real quick. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? We're going to see five things, five verbs. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So what are his benefits? His benefit is that he forgives us. He heals us. He redeems us. He crowns us. And then lastly, he satisfies us. And that's all because he's a God of grace. Again, we don't benefit God anything. He benefits us. So number two, what is the second decision that I can make as a father, as a mother, to have a godly family? Number two, I will teach my family to worship God. Teach my family to worship God. Let's go back to Joshua 24 and verse 14. And Joshua says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Our household should be one who fears the Lord. Now, it's easy to think about fearing the Lord with terror, with trembling, and I think there is definitely some of that there. But I think it goes further than that. It's a much broader concept than that. When we fear the Lord the way that we should, we will have a deep respect for God, and we will want to please him in everything that we do. That's why the Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's nothing that we can't do in our life that cannot bring praise and glory back to the Lord. And if I fear God, and I know that He has given me all these benefits, then I will want to live a life that is pleasing to Him. We need to have this inner devotion to God. Now, how do I pass that down to my family? Well, number one, it's more than what we say. You can say all the right things and live very differently than what you say. So we need to create this atmosphere of fearing the Lord and what that looks like. When I, as a father, fear God, when Heidi, as a mother, fears God, then that will trickle down to my children when we live that out consistently, that our goal is to please Him. You probably heard before that religion is better caught than taught. Right? It's one thing when you hear someone say something, and another thing when you see them do it. Our kids are always watching us, moms and dads. It doesn't really matter what you say if your life doesn't match up to that, or they don't see you constantly striving to match up to that. And I think men, we have, we bear probably the biggest responsibility in this because we are the spiritual leaders of our household. God has given us that role as fathers and husbands. You know, I think for too many years we've delegated that spiritual role to our wives. Men will go out, we'll make the money, we'll cut the grass, we'll do the jobs, and we're going to leave the spiritual teaching to our wives alone. Now, wives, I'm not saying that you do not have a part in the spiritual raising of your kids, because you definitely do. But that is imperative that you are the leader. That you are encouraging, you are coming alongside, that we are living that example out as well. I alluded to this slide a few weeks ago. This was a Norman Rockwell painting that was in the Saturday Evening Post. Can anybody guess what year that is? Any idea? 1959. So this is about 70 years ago. I'm hearing Gordon's birthday was in 1959. So it's a really old painting. So what's being depicted here? Now this is a secular news platform. 70 years ago, painted this. And they put it on their front page. What is this depicting? We see a daughter. We see a mother, another daughter, and a son, all going off to church with Bibles in their hands. And it seems like mother and daughter are going off dutifully and respectfully and maybe even in fear of the Lord. We're not going to read too much into it. But what do we see the son doing? Well, first of all, what do we see the dad doing? Nothing. That's kind of a gross picture, isn't it? On a Sunday morning when dad should be leading the charge, hyping the kids up, and we get to go to church today. We get to hear about God. We get to hear about what Jesus did for us. And instead of doing that, he's doing his own thing. But now, his child is catching what his dad is acting like. It doesn't matter what dad says. Dad might be saying, get ready to go to church, go with your mother, all that. He might be saying that. But he's showing what's really important. Dad, let's never be that guy. Let's always be the guy who is leading the charge. Now keep in mind, if you're the leader, those that follow you may not be at the same level. Now, when I say that, I'm the pastor of this church, but I know there are men of God in this room that I will consider greater than myself. But as a leader, typically, those you are leading are not up to your level. So what does that mean? Dads, we need to give grace like Jesus gave us. We need to give mercy that Jesus gave us. We need to have teaching opportunities that Jesus often gave his disciples. Did he ever crawl on the grill? Every once in a while he did. But more often than not, he came alongside them and said, okay, you're not seeing this for what I'm trying to teach. This is what it really means. This is what I want you to get from this. Well, you don't understand this now, but you're going to understand this later. Dad, that's another great lesson. We don't always have to pound every lesson right now. I didn't know that when I had my first child. I thought it was my job to get everything perfectly every time. I grew a little, and I listened to my wife a little, and I realized that God can help me do that job. It doesn't rise and fall on me, that God and I are working together. I'm following God, and God has control over that child's heart too. Number three, what decision can I make in our family to make sure that we are a biblical family? Parents and children, we should model obedience. I think it even goes to the kids. When little brother sees big brother obeying, that rubs off. When kids sees mom obeying the Lord, being submissive to dad, that rubs off. When the family sees dad submitting to the Lord's will, obeying God's word, being faithful in the church, doing those things, that rubs off. It doesn't matter what you say, it matters what we do. Joshua chapter 24, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. We see this word serve six times in these two verses. So this is a burden on Joshua's heart. He knows what's ahead. Do you remember when he said, you can't serve the Lord? And I think that's true of all of us without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God. We can't serve the Lord on our own the way he should be served. But God wants his people to serve him willingly. And then he specifies what he means by that when he says, serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Again, it's kind of the idea of blessing the Lord with everything within me. Not just my mouth, not just my hands, because I can do the right thing and think the wrong thing. I can show up to church on Sunday morning with a rain cloud over my head and not get anything out of it. I can do the right things, but for the wrong motives. He says that we should serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. And I think, Dad, that's one area that we have to look at, sincerity and faithfulness. That this obedience is on a loop for us. It's not something that we stray from. We do it so much that it becomes like second nature. When we're faithful, it means that there could be no hidden rooms in our hearts, no hidden rooms in our lives that we reserve just for us, that we give everything that we have to the Lord. And it means setting aside those false gods that were beyond the river that the Scripture talked about. Matthew Henry called them dunghill deities. Kind of a descriptive word. What does that mean? Dunghill deities can do nothing for you except corrupt. Dad, what are we pouring our life and our hearts and our energy into? If it's anything else besides following the Lord, we are erecting those dunghill deities. And we might say, I love the Lord and I serve him, but if we're not careful, our lives can look like something different. And then what are we teaching our children? We're teaching them that we can say one thing and we can do another. And as our kids get older, I believe it's very helpful to be transparent with them in some ways. Now, I'm not saying give them all the nitty-gritty details, but I'm thinking it's okay to for them to understand that you are not perfect, that you struggle sometimes with obeying. And that if there's something that, you know, if there's an instance where you can tell your child, hey, I know God wants me to do this, but I really struggle with that. Let them know it's okay to have a temptation. It's not okay to disobey. I think as Christians, one of the biggest hurdles that we put up for other Christians is acting like we have it all figured out. That we're the perfect Christian. That nothing ever hurts us. Nothing ever comes into our life. We're never tempted. We never sin. And I think that sets an unfair standard for other believers. I think a little bit of transparency can go a long way, especially within the family. So we need to model obedience. Number four, we need to remember our spiritual heritage. Let's look at verse 15. Now here, Joshua is giving them a choice. You can do this or you can do this. In verse 15 it says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve." The truth is, we all serve somebody, don't we? We don't like to admit it. We're Americans. We're our own boss. We can do what we want. Nobody can tell us what to do. But the truth is, we all serve something or someone. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He offers them two choices. First, you can choose the true God, or you can choose the gods beyond the river, or you can choose the gods of Egypt. Now, dads, I want you to hear this. Moms, I want you to hear this. We cannot force our children to serve the Lord. I could understand wanting to. All that breeds is rebellion. Does that mean Johnny says, "Well, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm 8 years old." Does that mean we cave into that? No, we don't cave into that. But can we really shape his heart and his mind? No, we cannot. So, younger parents, I want to tell you, can you take a little bit of that stress off of yourself that you can't do that? You can't make your child love the Lord. You can make it tempting. You can give him all the arguments why they should love Jesus. You can give them all the reasons why they should want to obey the Lord. But at the end of the day, it is their choice. So Joshua tells the Israelites, hey, choose this day. If it doesn't seem right for you to serve God, if you're not going to serve him, choose who you are going to serve. And this is really something interesting about biblical religion, is that we don't have to coerce people into believing. We don't have to coerce them into serving the Lord. That's God's job. We offer them a way, we show them an example, and then we let God do the work. Number five, lastly. Fifth thing to have a biblical family, biblical family roles, is choose to serve the Lord daily. Verse 15b. Now we come to that most well-known passage, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In this short passage, we find God's will simply stated. This is what serious godliness looks like. That in every part of my life and of my family's life, we will choose to do that for the honor and the glory of the Lord. If we are going to do what Joshua did and say what he said, that means that I need to get serious about living a godly lifestyle. We need a generation of Joshuas, people who are willing to speak out and to serve the Lord. Now, I want us to note just a couple of things real quick before we close. We have a time to choose this morning. It's not good enough to, wait and see, go out these doors, drive home, start eating lunch, and then decide then if I'm going to serve the Lord, because so many things come up between now and then. I think we should be making this choice each and every day. The first thing that we see when Joshua said this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," Joshua is issuing a public statement. He's saying, no matter what you do, no matter who you serve, who you choose to serve, he says, "But as for me, no matter what you do, I'm going to do this." We need moms and dads and children and churches who will say, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, we are going to serve the Lord. Make it a public decision. Number two is it's a personal decision. He says, before I can make my house do this, before I can influence them to live godly, I need to make that choice for me. And that's really important. Because again, your wife, your children, your community will see what you do more than what you say. So we need to make that personal decision ourselves. And it won't happen by accident. Have you ever found something that you don't like about yourself? Let's not say it's sin right now. Let's say it's something else. Does that ever change by happenstance? Or does it take real effort? Well, we know the answer to that. It takes real effort. I know in personal changes in my life, none of them come easy. And I think they stay longer if they don't come easy. If they're hard fought for, if there's blood, sweat, and tears, all those things. Well, dads, moms, children, if we want to have a godly family, it starts with us. Child, could I challenge you that maybe mom and dad aren't the perfect parents? I'll tell you right now, they're not. Maybe if they see your faithfulness and your godliness and your obedience, that might grab their attention. Wife, if your husband is not leading perfectly, if he is not leading the way he should, can I say that your example would be a big influence on him? And definitely fathers. I think God has designed our families in such a way that a father's words and a father's actions carry a lot of weight. So if we want our families to be godly families, we want to teach our children to serve the Lord, then it has to start with us. Number three, this is a persuasive declaration. He says, but as for me, and now he's speaking further out, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here Joshua speaks as God's leader for Israel. He claims the right to speak for them. To speak for his family. And he says, my house will serve the Lord. That is my intention. That is my ultimate goal in life. It's also a positive statement. Who are we serving? Who is he serving? He is serving the Lord. It's more than just putting away the things that we shouldn't be following. It's more than putting away other gods. It is saying out loud for everyone to hear is that I will live a consistent, spiritual, following life as a believer. So, church, can I ask you, are you willing to make that decision today? And again, I think we need to make it every morning because I quickly forget. There are times at work where I go have my devotions again at noon because I forgot what I read in the morning. Or things are going sideways. I could tell. You know how that goes. This is a statement or a decision that we need to make daily, even moment by moment. So, can I guarantee that my children and my grandchildren will follow in my steps and worship the Lord? No, I cannot. But we can give them every reason to do that, to make it as alluring as possible, to show them what God's benefits are, what that has done in your life, how that has changed you. And we need to provide an atmosphere of serious godliness in our homes. So, church, I'm gonna ask you today to make that decision today and again tomorrow and again on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Choose this day whom you will serve. Because if you don't choose, not choosing is still a choice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We just thank you for the example that you have in your word of how you operate, how you hate sin, and that you're a holy God, that you judge sin, you chastise your believers, Lord, that do not follow you, Lord, but also you're a rewarder of those who serve you with their whole heart. Lord, I pray that you would help us today to make again that choice.